Good morning. It's a good day, right? It's a great day, yes. All right. I'm going to read the gospel portion that Achin read earlier today, and then we'll go into prayer. It was taken from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. That's Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, with the little that we have. We pray that you would bless it. Father, bless the words of my mouth and bless the meditations of our hearts. May it be acceptable in your sight. What we cannot be, you can only make us, Father God. We commit our time into your keeping. We know that we have no power, but you have supernatural power to work and to act in our lives, Father God, so that the world will see the light on a hill, so that the world will know that you are working amongst us, Father God. We thank you for this time. We pray you would bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So two of the main lessons I would like us to focus on today are, number one, God is a God of mercy. And number two, God is always working, especially in the interruptions. Some of the descendants of Moses, the Pharisees and other teachers, had added to God's word and commandments so much so that they lost the gospel. They missed God's kingdom, and as a result, they literally missed God himself. The Jewish leaders had traded keeping the Sabbath holy with showing God's mercy. So instead of being servants of mercy, they were prisoners of law. Excuse me. They had taken legalism to the extreme. In essence, they felt God was not doing enough, so they added to God's word. They were looking to trap Jesus, as we read here, right? We read in the second verse. They might accuse him. What were they going to accuse him for? For actually working on the Sabbath day, right? They didn't care about the mercy part. They cared about keeping the law at the cost of mercy. Jesus may have wondered who the Pharisees were really serving, but he knew. In his heart, Jesus knew who they were serving. Now, to us, it seems like a big miracle whenever Jesus heals someone. But to the Son of Man, to Jesus, this was no miracle. This was a normal daily routine, the same as you making breakfast or dinner. It seems like a miracle to us, but to God, it's literally like checking your phone. It takes him no effort to heal whenever he's asked to heal. He spoke everything into existence by a word, so nothing is too great for him, especially healing. In the Old Testament, in Hosea 6, we read, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." In today's world, very few acknowledge God. Especially in America, where we live, people are okay to bend the rules or not give value to life. The knowledge of God becomes less in our daily world. So the children that we see now, in about 20, 30 years, the world they see in 20, 30 years will be such a challenge, you know? So to raise children that have faith, that have value in this world is such a huge task for us. But God is able to help us with that. God is being removed from our schools, and our schools are losing wisdom as a result of it. This is all because the human heart by nature is bent against God. No human is born sinless. Every human heart is born in sin, which is why God desires his acknowledgement. Now, the challenge is, do we in our daily lives acknowledge God, whether we're at work or at home? This is a challenge for many of us. Now I want to look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, where he calls Matthew into the ministry. We see another instance when the Pharisees are questioning Jesus. He responds by saying two interesting words, "Go and learn." So he's recruiting Matthew in chapter 9, and the Pharisees and everyone's like, look at him, he's eating with tax collectors. So who were tax collectors? Back then, tax collectors were the worst people, right? Some of the worst people. So for Jesus to eat with a tax collector, to let alone call a tax collector to help him preach the word, the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't believe that he was calling a tax collector, right? But that's what Jesus did. And so what does Jesus say? He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So he's quoting from Hosea, right? He knows the Bible. Jesus knows the whole Old Testament. So he's quoting from Hosea. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Can you imagine seeing the Pharisees' face when Jesus is telling them to go and learn? He's telling these teachers to go and learn. These are the leaders and of God's word, and Jesus is telling them to go and learn. That's like going to a concert where Adele or Beyonce is singing and saying to her, go and learn how to sing. You know, that's the equivalent of that. Telling someone like John Mayer to go and learn how to sing. That's what Jesus is doing. He's telling these so-called experts to unlearn what they've taught themselves because they have literally taught themselves away from God, away from the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is straightening them out as he's straightening out everyone with love and mercy. Those who have ears to hear him do hear him, and those who don't hear him cannot hear him. I said earlier the Pharisees had missed God himself. Jesus says in John 14, 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That means the heart of God was seen in the very actions of Jesus, healing and proclaiming the good news. These actions come from the very heart of God of light himself. In other words, God's mercy and love through this healing ministry was on display in Jesus' hands and words whenever he was asked to heal someone. Now, God is a God of mercy, and no matter how far we have gone from him, he is always eager to show mercy to us, as Jesus showed mercy every single day. The second point I'd like to address is that God is always working, especially in the interruptions of our lives. Luke 5:17 says, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. We have most of the healing stories of Jesus in the Bible because he was interrupted. In the gospel, most of these stories were due to interruptions. Jairus' daughter, as we know in Mark 5, he was on his way to do something else, and Jairus came to him and said, you have to heal my daughter. You know, so he was interrupted. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the guard's ear is cut off, he's interrupted to heal the ear. So Jesus is always on the way to someone or someplace, and he's interrupted to heal. Jesus is healing people not at big conventions or at conferences like Hillsong. He's interrupted to do it. In the ordinary moments, Jesus is healing, right? Sometimes God does heal, and sometimes he doesn't heal us as we would like. But we are all called to do the work regardless of the results because he is always at work. Ultimately, we look to our Father and not to the result. The Pharisees had stopped looking at the Father, but kept looking at their own works. And right now, we live in the tension of God's kingdom, not being fully realized here and now. God's kingdom has broken into this world, but it's not yet everywhere. That's why there's tension. There's this now and not yet is the reality of the kingdom of God. It is both now and not yet. We are always praying, your kingdom come, right? Because of this tension. God's desire and will is for wholeness. True healing is wholeness or completeness or perfection. Sin broke this world. Sin destroyed wholeness. This world was once whole. It was complete and perfect. Yet sin entered in our world and it broke us. Now we have broken families and broken relationships. Jesus was sent by our perfect whole Father to bring us wholeness. Jesus promised, behold, I make all things new. And God, the Father, Son, and Spirit are working together at all times to bring us to unity and wholeness. So what does this look like practically in our day-to-day lives? How do we pray for healing as a church, as the body of Jesus? If Jesus was on earth walking around healing others, we are called to this active healing ministry by praying that healing would take place. All we are doing is going side by side with him. He's already at work. We're just coming alongside him and he asks us to share in this amazing work. We should share in this desire to pray for the sick. In Jesus' body, we saw the desire to heal others, right? It wasn't something that he just said, you know, not now, but he always said, call that person, call this person. He had a desire to heal. As he spoke light into darkness, he commanded light into darkness in Genesis, he commands healing to be. He commanded healing as he commands light. Let there be light, let there be healing in the brokenness of our lives. Whatever area of our lives is broken, let us take it to Jesus, for he promises to heal. He can do no less. His hands bear the proof of his undying love. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, it says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. During our earthly pilgrimage, we are called to be mindful of the eternal. Because the eternal word has given us new life, this life comes at the greatest cost on the cross of Calvary. As we come for communion, let us ask God to help us see the things that are eternal. I would like to close with the story of my father-in-law. As many of you know, Maria's father was stricken with pancreatic cancer. They live in Canada. And his name's Thomas Benjamin, and many of you have prayed for him. Bergi Sachin has lifted him up almost every Sunday in prayer during Sunday service. And we are so grateful for your prayers for him. Pancreatic cancer is one of the worst cancers, but we praise God that Dad is doing well, and it has not gotten worse, the situation with the cancer. So thank you so much. Any healing Dad gets from cancer is from God's kingdom in heaven. God is crossing the threshold of his kingdom into ours to show he loves us and hears us. The doctors, they are powerless. The nurses, they are powerless. The real power in such situations comes only from God. So we thank you so much for your prayers.